say hi, Chad.
Hey guys, how are you?
And we got such a great response a few days ago when I was in the car. I said, you know what, maybe I'll just do it again. And this time I'm attempting something new. I'm going to teach right from the car. I have my notes with me. It's not a very nice day out there. It's kind of cloudy, but it's okay. All right. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you're about to do. And show us in this teaching. To you be the praise. In Jesus' name. And Lord, help Chad to drive safe. The people said, amen. Just want to make sure he drives safe. Okay. So I want to talk about this Monday, how to recognize demonic activity and how to throw it out, cast it out. You know, Eve, I like having an audience, so I'm pleased to say amen at the right time. So, I wish you were with me, sweet people. Anyways, Eve did not recognize the devil's voice. She didn't know who was talking to her. So here we see unable to discern the identity of the demonic. Look the troubles we have today because of it. She lacked discernment, basically. She did not discern it was an evil thing that happened. So in 1 John, let's all go to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to go here to my iPad. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. You all know what it says. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. So we have to make sure we have that gift of discernment. Otherwise, we will be in serious trouble. Verse 2 says the same thing. So only by the Holy Spirit we can discern, I mean, the spirits. In 1 Corinthians 12:10, Paul talks about the discerning of spirits. So it's more than one. So you have God's realm, you have man's realm, you have the enemy's realm. When you talk about God's realm, remember in 2 Kings chapter 6, 15 to 17, where Elisha prayed that his servant would see into the spirit world, because all he saw is the natural. Let's go there, will we? 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. I just love the Bible. All right. 2 Kings 6. Okay, here we go. And so, it says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant freaked out and said, what shall we do? He said, don't fear. More are they who are with us than this whole army. And then Elisha prayed. He said, now Lord, open his eyes. That's what we need to pray for today. That God will open our eyes to what spirit are we dealing with. And I want to show you something from the Gospels that's going to amaze you. About the spirit of infirmity and different sickness that is actually demonic by nature. And the Lord recognized it. And the manifestations were not the exact thing that was happening inside the body. I'll show you in just a second. In Acts 16, verse 16 to 19, here we see another ability to discern. Now, in the first one, in 2 Kings, Elisha prayed that he would discern God's side. In Acts 16:16, Paul the Apostle discerned the demonic, and I actually shared this with you before, but what is interesting is what was said by the individual. It says, it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain. The same followed Paul and us, cried, saying, these are the men, these are servants of God. She was speaking truth. They are the servants of the Most High God, who show unto us the way of salvation. Now here is someone with a demon saying the right thing, and Paul discerned that's not from the Lord, even though she was saying the right thing. So often people say the right thing, but there's actually a demon speaking it. That's the thing that is scary about not having the ability to discern the spirits. And that's why we read in John, in the epistle, that we as believers need to discern the spirits. Look at this one. This is the ability to discern into the human realm. And where do we find that? Don't you remember Isaac? Did not discern Jacob, because he was deceived by his own son. So he didn't ask for the gift of discernment. Is this really Jacob, you know? Sure sounds like Esau, you know? Sure sounds like Jacob. But when he fell there, so, well, it's, you know, it's Esau's hair. He didn't discern his own son. Think about how often people mess up by not discerning. Even in the human realm, they blow it up. So, now, here's what the Bible says, which is so remarkable to me. In Luke 13:11, and I want to talk about this. It's important now about sickness. Is all sickness demonic? Look, I have been in the healing ministry 47 years now, and I've learned much, not only from the Word, but I've learned also by just watching what God did throughout the years I've been in ministry, that a lot of sickness is demonic. I remember a lady coming on a wheelchair to our crusades in California, and she was totally healed. She shows up, and this was on Friday. She shows up on Monday night to the studio back on the wheelchair. And I was like really shook up. I said, lady, you were just healed on Friday. Well, I don't know what happened. I can't walk. And the Lord said, it's a demon. I cast the demon out, and she came up again and ran. I said, don't you ever let the demon back. And she was totally crippled. She could not even move a muscle in her body. Imagine a demon crippling a lady like this. In Luke 13:11, that's called the spirit of infirmity. And often in our crusades, I would come against the spirit of infirmity. I learned that from Bunky, Ronald Bunky, in 1981, I think it was. Durban, South Africa. Prior to that, I would just, you know, ask the Lord to heal his people. And then I heard Bunky, I command the spirit of blindness to come out. And people started getting, you know, amazing miracles began happening. So 10,000-20,000 seat place in Durban. And I was shook up in a good way. When Bunky Ranhard, one of the greatest men of God that ever lived, I think it was Bunky. He's in heaven now, and I really miss him. He was my dear, sweet friend. Anyways, when he began to come against the devil of blindness, it was powerful. And I said, okay, this is it. I need to take authority then on the platform. And, well, if you've ever seen This Is Your Day, you can go back and see a lot of that on YouTube. Or some of it, anyways. You can feel that anointing when I say, I come against the spirit of infirmity in Jesus' name. And thousands of people would feel it in those amazing crusades we had. And every time I have a service, same thing happens still to this day. So, now, let me show something that's amazing. Mark 9:25. All right? Now, you just go with me. Mark 9:25. Here's what it says. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, enter no more. But wait a second. What happened before that? It says in verse 22, it was a spirit of suicide. Listen here. The demon was trying to kill him. And they brought unto him, it says, this young man, and it says when the demon saw the Lord, I'm reading verse 20 of Mark 9, straight away the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And the Lord asks his father, how long has it been? He says, since he's been a child. Oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire, into the waters, to destroy him, tried to kill him. A demon trying to kill this boy. And we cannot do anything, have compassion on us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. And the man cries out, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And the next thing you read is, Jesus commands the deaf and dumb spirit. Now, deaf and dumb is deaf and dumb, but the Lord recognized that a deaf and dumb spirit was trying to kill that boy. So the spirit of suicide often is under the authority of a deaf and dumb spirit. Sometimes we're coming in, against the wrong demon. So rather than me saying I rebuke the spirit of cancer or arthritis, in many cases it is a demon, I said I command the spirit of infirmity because it covers everything. I was in New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm on the platform, Marvin Gorman's church, years ago, great man of God. Someone got healed of cancer, came on the platform. And then the Lord said to me, and the man was still, struggling with pain, and he said he was healed, but he wasn't sure, and the pain is still there, and I prayed and prayed, and nothing happened. And I said, Lord, why am I struggling? He said, there's a man on the balcony with the same demon, and the demon in the man on the platform is asking for help from the demon in the man on the balcony. And the demon on the balcony came to help the guy on the platform, and the Lord said, rebuke them both. It was like electric in that building when I did that. I said, I command you, devil both, and I pointed that guy out. He came down, cast the devils out of them both. Both of them were healed. It was electric. It was like the 4th of July in that service. People exploded with joy because they saw with their own eyes that that case was not physical. That case was demonic, certainly. In our church in Orlando, Florida, OCC, a lady was healed of cancer. The demon left her body, came out as black smoke, looked at a little girl who belonged to a Welker family. I knew them very well. Bob Welker was on my board. And the granddaughter of Bob Welker saw this figure in black who said, can I come into you now? And she freaked out, told her parents and came and told me. I said, yeah. I said, that demon left. He had to go somewhere. Thank God you said no. And she didn't say anything. She just freaked out and was really scared. So many times it's demonic. Let me give you another one. In Matthew 12:22. All right, watch this. I hope you're enjoying this. Matthew 12, and that's why we all need the gift of discernment, like the Lord discerned that demon that was trying to kill that boy was actually behind the authority of a deaf and dumb spirit. Then it says, was brought to him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, in so much that the blind and dumb both speak and saw, and the people were amazed. So here's someone blind and dumb, but what did Jesus do? Did he lay hands on him? It says no. Watch this. It says he was possessed with a devil. Then they brought to him one possessed with a devil who was blind and dumb. The Lord set him free, and suddenly he began to see and speak. And the Lord recognized it was a demon. So when sometimes people make fun of this, well, I think it's time to stop making fun of stuff like that, because it's real. Mark 1:23, an unclean spirit was cast out, and the Lord recognized it to be unclean. He said, you unclean spirit, come out. Now look at this one. Luke 8:29. Please write these scriptures down. Luke 8:29 says, you know what? I'm really enjoying teaching from the car. This is good. I can do two things at the same time. For he had commanded, yay! Thank you, Jesus. For he had commanded, I just got excited. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. He broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. This man had many devils in him, the man in Gadara. So it says now that Jesus commands the unclean spirit to leave. An unclean spirit that we also hear about in Mark 1, it says, kept a man chained. He chained himself in a cemetery, naked, day and night, running around, howling like an animal. And when the Lord saw him, he commanded the unclean spirit. So often someone who watches too much pornography or involved in sex and fornication ends up so bound that they can lose their mind, like this guy in the Bible. And the Lord, of course, set him free. Thank God for that. And you know that whole amazing story. There were so many demons in that man that they commanded, when the Lord commanded them to leave, they said, well, don't send us to the deep. Send us into those that herd of swine down there. Even the pigs could not handle them. They jumped in the lake and drowned rather than having to live with those devils, even in the animal. If animals like that, by the hundreds, could not handle the devils, imagine that poor one man. What torment he endured. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Hallelujah. Luke 9:39. Very, very powerful one. So let's look at Luke 9:39. These are all diseases that today they, I guess, treat with medicine or some other things. And the Bible makes it very clear. They are demonic in nature. I think if we recognize that, wow, think about the changes. This guy in California, not long ago, killed himself. Pastor, very famous pastor. Because he was having, terrible thoughts and this and that, depression. You remember the guy?
Yes, sir.
What was wrong with him?
Yeah, I believe it was suicidal thoughts, depression.
Suicidal thoughts, depression, all this. And he just killed himself, and his poor wife and children said, well, you know, it was a mental problem. And I know a lot of people have mental problems. A lot of these mental problems are devils. They have to come and say, cut out in the name of Jesus, and take the authority and be done with it. Rather, they send him to these people who don't know what they're talking about. Put them on pills and nothing works. And it says in verse 39, and lo, a spirit taketh. Let me just go back. Behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, he is my only child. A spirit takes him, and he suddenly cries out. He tears him, that he foams again, and bruising him hardly departs from him. And I besought your disciples, and they could do nothing. And the Lord later said, the Lord rebuked this another unclean spirit and healed the child. And they were all amazed at the power of God. But what is so amazing is, later he said that this kind goes out only by prayer and fasting. So certain demons don't leave by just someone saying in Jesus' name. You have to be someone in prayer and fasting. And that gives you that authority, not only to discern, but to cast it out. And think about 1 Samuel 18. 19 to 11. What was that demon in Saul? It was the spirit of murder. Every time David showed up, he wanted to kill him. That demon was so strong in him, it caused Saul to follow David with thousands of people from his army from place to kill him. And when David would show up twice in the cave, Saul couldn't even move because it wasn't really him. It was a demon moving him to go kill David to stop the coming of the Messiah. Why do you think that demon was there trying to kill David? Not because Saul just hated him and was jealous of him. There was a plan, satanic plan against God's plan. And they lost, as they always do. Hallelujah. So, those of us who know who we are in Jesus have the authority. So it says in Ephesians 6:12, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and so on. Think about what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 6. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity to each mind into the obedience of Jesus. So think about the importance of the weapons we have today. They're not carnal. They're mighty through God. We can pull down strongholds in people's lives and minds. And our battle should not be with flesh and blood. And today, what are they doing? It's all flesh and blood. Go get a pill. Go see a psychiatrist. Well, maybe you should go rest. Maybe you should play some music to calm your nerves. Whatever. I met and I've known people. Dear Lord, I'll never forget that poor woman in California. Her husband used to be the captain of the love boat. Well, you don't remember that. And I'm sitting in Pat Boone's home in Beverly Hills, and Gavin McLeod comes in, and his sweet wife had a depression so severe. And thank God we prayed, and we saw a miracle. And these are precious saints of God. And one of the greatest people I think today with that gift of discernment is Pastor Chris Oyakhilome. I've seen that work with him. We walked into the house of someone not long ago, and she was on this wheelchair. And I said, Pastor Chris, let's pray for her. This was here in the U.S. I said, let's pray for her. And he stared at her like real for a while. And I'm thinking, okay, what's going on? And all he said is, come out! And when he said, come out, she came out of that wheelchair and began walking around the room free. I was like, whoa! I wanted him to lay hands so she can be, she can be healed. He saw a demon behind that whole thing. So thank you, Jesus, for your mercy, Thank God. So we have to develop the gift that God gave us as believers. We develop that gift by the Word of God, the discerning of spirits. Only the Word of God can develop that in you. I can tell you right now. So, I think I have a few more minutes to give you a few more thoughts here on this. Some people cannot discern a demon. So let me give you some tips to tell you it's a demon. If you know someone who pulls back spiritually and emotionally, and they begin to lack hunger for God, it's a devil. When they begin to pull away spiritually, when the hunger in them dies, it's a demon that caused it. And that is called regression. There's a demon behind it. Number two, people who are unable to express feelings, it's a demon. I know this may have shocked somebody, because if they cannot express joy and sorrow and this and that, they're like they're numb. I remember watching a lady who was numb. She couldn't years ago couldn't express laughter. She couldn't express sorrow. It was a devil. Number three, unable to win or break through their situation, where they are broken always and crushed always. You know what these people have? Depression. You know how you know depression? Lack of strength. Lack of fight. They just give up. They don't want to fight. People like that don't have the will anymore. That's depression. But that's a demon, and that's what we prayed for with that sweet lady. Number four, unable to take care of the simplest problems or situations. You know what that means? Oppression. Oppression is when people feel so loaded that they can't move. Now they're oppressed. And demons lead them down to a place of really lack of victory completely. So people who can't win are totally oppressed, and that's how you know it's a demon in there. But if you have that gift of discernment, you can tell without looking at these outward manifestations. But I'm just helping you. Then we're going to pray. Number five, if you see somebody preoccupied with an emotion, an idea, and they can't seem to break away from the idea, they begin believing a lie. That is a lack of reality. Anyone living in lack of reality, there's a demon behind it. And that leads to obsession. It's not a real world. They create their own world. Number six, people who are under the control of a foreign invisible power, there are people who are unable to resist the devil. You know, the Bible says we have the power to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. These are people who are running away from the devil and cannot resist him. They have no fighting ability against the demonic. Well, that's because they are themselves possessed. Any preacher who will not cast out a demon, I'm going to make a strong statement, most likely is influenced by a demon. Because he's afraid of a demon. If you're afraid of a demon, there's a demon of fear inside of you. What else? And believe me, I've seen it happen. I walked into a church. Ruth, I was preaching there. Ruth Glass was with me. Ruth Glass is an amazing woman of God who is to this day my dear sweet friend. Powerful woman of God. So we're standing in the office and I'm about to walk on the platform to go minister to thousands of people. And Ruth looks at that pastor, tall gentleman, and she rebukes the devil out of him. And he starts... He starts manifesting right in front of us. He starts throwing up and growling and doing crazy stuff. And I was like, whoa, this is happening before the service. She cast the devil right out of him. She saw that that guy had this, the spirit of fear, if I recall. So demons can bring fear to a pastor because they don't want him taking the authority. Okay, so what do we do? Number one, we pray. Prayer is one of the most powerful keys to release the gift of discerning of spirits inside of you. Number two, praise. Ooh, there's power in praise. When we praise, the enemies turn on each other. Number three, we confess who God is. Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their confession, the word of their testimony. Father, I thank you for this wonderful word. Now, Lord, even from this car, right here on I-4, I pray, Lord, that you'll give them that discerning heart, that let them discern what they're dealing with and give them authority over it. In Jesus' mighty name, I give you praise and glory. Woo! Amen, amen. Okay, I pray this blessed you. You know, I can take my iPad and teach from anywhere on earth. Isn't that lovely? And my phone and my microphone, it's all over, it's done. Okay, it's time to give to the Lord's work on this lovely, cloudy Monday here, but it's sunny beyond the clouds. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now, I want you to give to the Lord's work. Give it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Running over shall men give to your bosom. Lord, let this be the best week they've had financially. Let this be a week of victory financially. Let this be a week of reward financially, Lord, in Jesus' darling name. God's people said, amen. Okay, the information is on the screen for you. Benny Hinn Ministries, you give and watch what God does for you. Okay, I'm wearing my glasses today because I wanted to make sure that dear Chad is going in the right direction. You want to say bye? He's from Jordan. Oh, did you like that?
That was awesome.
Most times he's behind the camera pushing the buttons there. I said, no, you just drive. I take care of the rest. All right. Much love. Now you sow that seed and watch what God will do with you. And see you tonight, you who are students of BHI. See you tonight. Love you.